What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
What's up, Real Life? How y'all doing tonight? Love you guys so much. I want to say a late happy Valentine's Day to Teen Challenge. We missed you guys. We are so glad you're back with us. Who's ready for God's Word tonight? Awesome. Let's pray. Let's bow our hearts, bow your heads. God's about to do something significant in this room tonight, if we'll allow him to. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your love. How deep and how wide and how great your affection is for us. So God, tonight I pray that you would break through every wall that we have placed in between us and you. God, we pray against every power and principality that would try to deceive us, that your love is not for us. God, we recognize tonight that you are for us, you love us, and it's unconditional. And we thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. I don't know about you, but tonight I want to have a good night. So I kind of feel like singing. But I was thinking back, we did a few months, well, I guess it was a year, at least a year ago, we did this purpose sermon series on Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber had a theme in one of his songs, and I think he had something to it. He might have been a little bit off on his delivery. It's kind of awkward, but he said, "If you like the way you look that much, baby." Oh, okay. What's the next? If you, that, oh, you should go and love yourself. Oh, and if you think, oh, just kidding. Oh, you should go and love yourself. Woo! All right. Here's the deal. I want you to get loose. I want you to feel comfortable. If you can sing and you can get out of your comfort zone for Justin Bieber, you can do it for God's word. Tonight, God is expressing and communicating to us that we should love ourselves. You have to love yourself. God loves you too much for you not to love yourself. So tonight, we're going to look at God's word. And if you feel that it's for you, if something that God's word says gets you excited, you raise your hand, you say, "Yes, Lord." You say whatever you want to say, hallelujah. My wife says, "Say that." She does all those things. So I want you to help me preach tonight. But I want to ask a question. Are there any dog lovers in the house? Any dog lovers? I love you guys. I actually have the most incredible dog. My family has an 85-pound German Shepherd Border Collie mix. He's a beautiful dog. His name is Duke. Duke is a beast. He is so strong. He's so smart. And he's a little more than a year old, so he's still a puppy. And I've been training him to sleep with his cage open at night. And it's been a couple nights. First night was solid. The dog just slept all night long. Second night, last night, actually, at 12:30 at night, all of a sudden, I wake up to this dog right next to my face going, he just like did this weird like half sneeze, like just to, he did it just to like express to me, it was as if he was saying, "Dad, I gotta go pee." and he woke me, it freaked me out because I see these beady eyes in the middle of the night. And so anyways, I'm trying to get Duke to stay the whole night in his cage, but I want the cage open because y'all can witness, Duke is my first line of defense if somebody tries to come up in my house. Can I get a witness? I want that dog ready. If somebody starts coming through the window, I want, rah, 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 rah. I want him coming out. I don't want him locked in a cage. And the second line of defense is my 9mm Glock 19. Okay? Because y'all got a pistol-packing pastor, okay? Don't come to my house uninvited. I love you. But here's, in all seriousness, we're having fun tonight. I've noticed something about my dog, Duke. He's sweet, but he's insecure, okay? Here's the example. If I walk into the house and I'm like, oh, there's a good boy. Oh, there's a good boy. Yeah, there's my doggy. Come here, buddy. Oh. I'm acting a fool for my dog, right? And he just wags his tail. It's like 15 pounds knocking things off the counter. And he's like, and he's like, his ears are up, and he's like all excited. He's like, yeah, will you scratch me? Scratch me there. Scratch me a little. And he's all excited, right? But here's the deal. If I walk up in that house and he starts sniffing at my hand and I put my hand in a fist, like I'm not a jerk, but it's a dog. I know what you lick. Don't lick my face, right? And I put my hand in a fist and I ignore him. He knows exactly what I mean. His ears droop. His tail gets all up in between his legs awkwardly. He kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you, Dad. I'll just be in my cage over here. He's awkward and insecure, and his body language acts as if he hates his life. Okay? It's as if he allows what's happening on the outside to affect his confidence on the inside. And I think we do the exact same thing. We do the exact same thing. I'm not calling you a dog tonight. I promise you that. But tonight we're talking about embracing love for ourselves. I have recognized this week that I act like my dog at times. I do. If things are not going exactly how I want them to, I can let the outside influences affect my self-esteem and my self-worth. And tonight God has a word for us that can change everything if we let it. If we don't love ourselves and accept the unconditional love of Jesus, we will lose the love game. We will. And here's the deal. Many times we have a hard time expressing love to others in a healthy way because it's so difficult to love ourselves. We have a hard time expressing love to others because it's so difficult because we don't love ourselves. We have a hard time loving and living for God because we're so busy hating ourselves. Many of us in the room have a difficult time in your relationship with God because you think to yourself, how could God love me? I hate me. One of the things I hate most about being a pastor is watching people who God fiercely loves walk around depressed and defeated. I absolutely hate that part of my job. While you were yet a sinner, our Bible says, Christ died for you. Man, God loved you enough to die for you, and somewhere along the path of life, you have embraced a lie that God doesn't love you anymore. That's straight from the pit of hell. God loves you unconditionally. God's ways are not our ways, the Bible says. His thoughts are not like our thoughts, so sometimes we can get it all confused. And we have an enemy that is twisting things and lying to us with one goal in mind, and that's to convince us that God's love does not exist for us and that we should not love ourselves. In all honesty, to be transparent tonight, there are times where I have a hard time loving myself. Why is that? I know myself. I know exactly what I've done. I know myself better than anyone else. I know what my past holds. I feel the guilt and the shame of mistakes that I've made. I am a human being. I am a fallible person. I've been learning as I fall deeper into my relationship with Jesus Christ that there is a big difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation. There's a big difference between feeling the presence of God saying, stop doing that, and feeling what's called condemnation. God hates you. Yes, I've done things that I'm not proud of. Yes, I'm not perfect. I am keenly aware of my inconsistencies. I have my own personal insecurities that I have to fight every day. I am a man in need of a Savior, and so is everyone else in this room. But that doesn't mean that God's love has passed me by. Just because I have faults and failures, God still loves me. God, through his Holy Spirit, convicts me to be a better man every single day, and the enemy tries to twist that to convince me that Jesus doesn't really love me. That's what the enemy does. Then the mind games kick in, that if God doesn't love me, probably I shouldn't love myself. Tonight, God wants to defeat that lie from the pit of hell. And I want you to hear this point tonight, real life. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is proof of God's love for us. When the Holy Spirit says stop going that direction, it's because he doesn't want you to be hurt. Condemnation is a tool that the enemy uses to convince us that God can't and won't love us. Man, I read a powerful quote. Many of us need to hear this truth tonight. The devil knows your name but calls you by your sin. God knows you by your sin but calls you by name. You need to hear that again. The devil knows you by name but calls you by what you've done wrong. God knows you by what you've done but calls you by name because he loves you. If Jesus convicts us of any behavior or sin, it's not because he hates us or is deeply disappointed in us. He actually knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. He has what's called foreknowledge. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He even knows the thoughts that you are thinking right now. Kind of intrusive. It's because he loves us so much that he does not want us to be hurt by our self-destructive behaviors. Tonight, we're going to look at a powerful expression of love in God's word, and I'm believing that it's going to help us see that God's love is for us, that we should love ourselves too. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is going to be up on the screen as well. Starting in verse 1, God's word says this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was a wealthy man. He wanted to see Jesus and see who he was because he was short. He could not see over the crowd. He was a short man. He had little man syndrome. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Jesus reached the spot. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, get down. I'm coming to your house today. So he came down at once, welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, man, this Jesus is going to be the guest of a sinner. Oh man, how could Jesus hang out with that man? Zacchaeus is terrible. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Praise God for that. Amen. Aren't you grateful that God has come to seek and save those that are lost? Man, that is the unbelievable love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at what this story is trying to communicate to our self-worth, I believe it's important to point out verse 1 is not insignificant. It says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. But I've come to encourage someone tonight that Jesus does not make moves accidentally or haphazardly. Jesus does not do anything by accident. There is no accident that you're in this room tonight. Actually, God divinely set it up to teach you and show you and reveal to you how deep and how great his love is for you. That should have gotten an amen. I'm grateful for his love. He does not move by accident. He doesn't function through coincidence. Actually, in John chapter 5, Jesus told his disciples, I do nothing unless the Father tells me. He said, if God Almighty says speak, I speak. If the Father says stay, I stay. If he says go, then I go. Jesus was passing by, but Jesus was on mission. He was intentionally on his way, and I'm here tonight to tell you his purpose wasn't a crowd. His purpose was Zacchaeus. His purpose, his mission was to seek and save that who was lost. He was coming to save Zacchaeus, to love the unloved, to spend time with the rejected, and to uplift a broken heart. My point is, there is no coincidence that you're in this room tonight. Maybe you're going through something. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through, and he wants to uplift your heart tonight. Jesus is passing through Real Life Student Ministries in Columbus, Georgia tonight, and he is on mission to show all of us how deep and how wide and how great his affection is for us. In verse 2, it says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Tax collectors, just so you know, were hated people. I don't like doing my taxes now either. Tax collectors were hated by everyone. If anyone had a reason to hate themselves, it was Zacchaeus. Because nobody loved him. Everybody hated him. He wanted to go eat worms. That's a silly song. Dad jokes for days. Tax collectors were notorious for using their position in the government to take advantage of people for their own personal gain. So no one accepted Zacchaeus. No one liked him. No one invited him. He had no friends. He had no support system. The point of tonight is to help us find a healthy love for ourselves. We're not going to dwell on this point for a long time, but God wants you to realize tonight that external wealth can never produce internal happiness and satisfaction. External wealth can never produce internal happiness and satisfaction. You can work hard and make good grades to get that scholarship to get you into the prestigious school you're hoping to get into, but that won't ensure you will be happy when you get there. You can say my pleasure all day, every day, working at Chick-fil-A every night. You can serve up mochas or frappuccinos at Starbucks to make that green so you can drive that nice car, but you will not buy happiness. In fact, many times the more you have, the more you feel you need to stay happy. When you have more, you think you need more. And when you don't have enough, then guess what? I'm not happy anymore. Zacchaeus had cash for days, but a void in the depths of his soul. Man, Jesus was coming, and it was the buzz. Man, it was trending on everyone's feed. The guy who does supernatural things is on his way. Guys, the man who heals the sick and raises the dead is coming to our town. The one who makes blind men see. The one who claims to be the Son of God is about to be here. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Man, guys, we all have issues. All of us can name at least a few. And our boy Zacchaeus was short. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in a... Okay. Zacchaeus, come down from there. For coming to your house. Sorry. Side note. So in the excitement, in this anticipation, as Jesus was on his way through his town, Zacchaeus climbs to see the Son of God. He was too short to see over the crowd. He had imperfections that limited him. His story shows us a truth about human beings, about all of us, if we're honest. Guys, people do strange things for attention. This is the reality. We do strange things for attention. It was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. There was this trend on social media. It was called planking. People would act like they were a stiff board in awkward places and take a picture of themselves and post it. It was awkward. And then after planking came owling. People would perch like an owl. Isn't that weird? People do weird things for attention. We all have, this is the deal, Real Life. We have an intrinsic need to be seen and not overlooked. If we don't love ourselves, we will be willing to chase after love from others who don't truly love us. I got my hair cut the other day on Monday by a barber. She did good. It was fresh. I got a fresh fade. But my barber had this bright, bright pink hair. It was wild. It was a cry for attention. And in that moment, I sat down and I took advantage of the moment because I felt in my spirit, this is a divine appointment. This woman is trying to get someone's attention. And I just sat down and we were small talking. You know, it's awkward because she's trying to shampoo my hair. And I'm like, "This is, don't touch me. You're weird. I'm married. I got a ring. I love Jesus. I'm a pastor." I'm like throwing in. I work with students at Real Life at North Highland Church down the street. And finally, I slip it in. I said, "Ma'am, you got some really cool hair." I said, "You must have one of the coolest personalities to be that expressive." And it began to minister to her soul because exactly what she wanted was for somebody to notice her, for somebody to speak to her, for somebody to look at not just the external appearance, but to think, "Man, that man thinks I've got a cool personality." Man, she gave me a fresh cut. It was awesome. But my point is, we do strange things for attention because we crave love. The problem is we don't love ourselves, so we do whatever we can to get love from others. We post for a heart. We do things in relationships only meant for marriage to fill a void. We dress to get people to look. We turn up at parties to gain the approval of others. We try substances to numb feelings and insecurities. We lower our standards because our self-respect and our self-esteem are depleted and we find ourselves desperate for love and we need approval. Man, we walk over people and disrespect authority because we crave love at a deep level. Man, God sent me to warn us tonight that acting out for attention is a symptom of self-hatred. Acting out for attention is a symptom. You talking back to your parents is a symptom that you don't love yourself. You defying and disrespecting rules that are there to protect you is a symptom that you don't love yourself and you don't respect yourself. You doing things in a relationship you know you shouldn't be doing is a symptom that you don't really love yourself, because then you would hold a standard because you know you're better than that. Hear this truth tonight. You acting out does not disqualify you from the love of Jesus. It proves that you don't love yourself. Man, Zacchaeus proves to us that just because we've acted out doesn't disqualify us from the love of Jesus. He climbed up that tree. But here's the deal. What the enemy of our soul does is he twists the conviction of the Holy Spirit and tries to convince us that it's condemnation. The mind games kick in. Man, I've already done this. I've already gone that far, so I might as well keep going. Man, or there's this lie from the pit of hell. God hates me and I hate myself, so I might as well keep living this way. What's it matter? Nobody's going to even notice. Zacchaeus did something strange that was a symptom of his self-hatred. Instead of simply asking someone, "Hey, guys, you think I could stand in front of you? I'm kind of short. I can't see. I really want to. Can I just move to the front, please? Can I just do something? Can you just make way for me? Will you notice me?" Instead of doing that, he climbs up a tree. And he was acting out. Zacchaeus avoided interpersonal interaction because the crowd had rejected him over and over and over again. So he avoided it at all costs because he knew what they thought and he began to adopt what they thought. We have to understand this about ourselves tonight. Rejection from people we want to love us leads us to isolation. And isolation is where the enemy of our soul can lead us to self-hatred. Isolation is exactly where the enemy wants you. It's exactly where he wants me. To avoid the crowd, Zacchaeus climbed a tree. And this is the cool part as the band comes. Jesus comes and looks at Zacchaeus with all of Zacchaeus' regret, with all of Zacchaeus' insecurities, with all the rejection. And Jesus looks up and with grace and with mercy and with authority in his voice, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, get down. I'm coming to where you live today. I'm going to get into your life today. I'm going to move into your life today. Jesus wanted to be in the middle of what Zacchaeus was living in. Jesus was saying, I came to be in your life. He was saying, I love you even when you have nothing to offer me. With all of your insecurity, with all of your imperfection, I love you and I don't have anything to say. You don't have to do anything but say yes to my love, Zacchaeus. Just come down. And this should show us, each and every one of us in the room tonight, that Jesus loves us in spite of our past in order to inspire our future. He loves us no matter what we've done in the past. The Bible even says that when you get the forgiveness and the grace of God, He separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. There's an unmeasurable, vast expanse that He throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. God has sent me tonight with a message from the loving heart of God, a message that through the lens of Zacchaeus, I want you to hear this tonight. Doing the right thing doesn't earn you the love of God. The love of God empowers us to do the right thing. You actually already have God's love. What you need to do is stop trying to earn it and start living in it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.